Originality.
You.
Welcome to Autographs. My name is Nick Singh, and just know originality is on the horizon. Let's go.
All right, what's cooking, good lookings? This is Nick Singh, and we are back with another episode of Autographs. Welcome, and thank you, as always, for being here. I haven't done this in a while, but first, let's start things out with gratitude. Something I am currently grateful for is following my heart. I'm currently looking at a book called A Return to Love by Marianne Williamson. I haven't read it, but it's in front of me. Oftentimes I'll think, oh man, I just gotta just read that book. I mean, I'll look at a book that I have, I'm like, I really gotta read that. And this is one of those times, but I decided actually to bring it with me to the office, and give it a go. I've become less attached to actually finishing books and more attached to just following that initial instinct to maybe pick something up or read something or do something, because I think that there'll be a blessing in that for me and for the world. So I'm grateful for that, and I encourage you to pause this tape, or even while I'm talking, consider something you're grateful for as well, and please make it unique. Let's not be basic. But anyways, this episode, excuse me, little cough I have. But anyways, this episode is with a gentleman by the name of Tucker Max. You may have heard of him. He is a renowned author, and he created a fascinating company called Book in a Box. He became an author off of his college humor. He was incredibly witty and very honest and very pioneer-like, actually. He was one of the very first people to start writing in the way that he did, and it really shook the world because of his honesty, his vulnerability, and his truth behind his classic college humor. But it really was an honor to sit down with him in San Francisco at a little event called HustleCon. This was taken a few years ago in 2017, but I think that everything he said still has as much merit today as it did when he first said it. The real core of what we discuss is how to really give less fucks about what people think of you, and I think he lays down some really unique insight toward that in this short little bit. So I believe you will enjoy it. And if you do, please let me know what you think. Feel free to message me on Instagram. I'm at Nick Singh with two G's, in case anyone was wondering. But anyways, I will let you folks go and enjoy this show. So enjoy it. Thanks again for listening. My name is Nick, and you're now listening to Autographs. Peace. I told you I have an interesting question for you. And the reason why it's, I guess, particularly interesting for me is just because this is a question that I'm asking you for me, and also because I know a lot of people out there will benefit from it. So something I've struggled with in my life immensely was handling other people's opinions. You know what I mean? Just like really getting
not a problem for me.
Yo, exactly, man. And like that, you know where I'm going with this, right? Yeah. I mean, you refer to yourself as an asshole, and I'm sure that part of that's you understanding yourself. But at the same time, it's like...
No, I can be an asshole sometimes.
Yeah, it's like other people calling you an asshole, right? Yeah. And all that banter growing up, and probably you still get that comment, right? How have you been able to just process it and not let it shape you and then end up...
So hold on, before I answer, you know you got a light going out here and flickering here.
Are they both flickering?
That one's flickering a little. That one literally just—I mean, you see the panels already. Yes. Half of them went out.
Yeah, this is going to end up. This is going to end up recorrecting itself.
It's that string of LEDs that I talked to you about earlier.
Yeah, this is going to end up recorrecting itself, and you're going to get really lit up. I don't know what's wrong with it. We've charged it. It's on full capacity.
All right, as long as you know, it's fine.
Yeah, no, I appreciate
just
it.
Fix this one.
That one's fine.
So yeah. Cool. All right, sounds good.
All right, so how do I handle other people's opinions of me? So here's the thing: with people who have an issue with this. It's not really that I don't care what anyone thinks. The only people who don't care what anyone thinks are sociopaths, like people who just don't have emotions or can't feel emotions. I'm definitely not that. For me, it's a matter of how I define who matters to me, right? So for someone like you who, like, you worry about what a lot of people think, if you actually break that down, you'll understand that the circle of people whose opinions you're caring about is very wide. And the reality is most of those people just don't give a shit about you, right? For me, the only difference is I still have, there are people I care about, but the circle is very small. So like the people whose opinions matter to me, my wife, my friends, like the people that really know me, the people that I deal with on a day-to-day basis, if one of them is upset with me, that shit matters. That impacts me, right? Whereas if, no offense, but if you have like a negative opinion of me, like I don't fucking know you, I don't care. Yeah. Like it's like, okay, you know, that's your issue. It's not my issue, right? Because your opinion is not based on our interactions. It's based on your perception of something that almost doesn't have anything to do with me. It's your issue, right? That's really the only thing is sitting down. It's not hard to be like, have the sort of approach that I have. You just have to sit down and say, okay, what am I worried about, first off? And like, I'm worried about looking bad. Okay, from who? And then literally, explicitly write down the exact people you're worried about, whose opinions you're worried about. You'll start to realize, oh shit, like this person doesn't care about me. This person doesn't matter. This, you make it explicit, and then it becomes a lot easier to narrow your circle down to people that matter, right? That's, I think, the big thing.
That's interesting. It's like, it sounds so simple, right?
And it is. It's like, just hard to do.
I was just about to say, it sounds like simple, but it's one of those things that's simple, but it's not easy.
No, it's not easy.
Yeah.
It's hard.
Yeah, no, I can imagine that being the truth. So,
because here's the thing is let's say you get your circle down real small, and let's say your mom, I'm just going to make something up. Let's say your mom's in that circle, and your mom wants you to be a certain way. She wants you to be X, and you want to be Y. That's where you get a lot of problem, a lot of friction,
and it
right?
It carries over probably.
Exactly. And so you project mom's ex opinion on a lot of other people. And so now it's like you're carrying that with you.
It feels meta and it's unsolvable.
Right, right. Exactly. And so I'll tell you what I do in that situation, and it's not an easy thing to do. This is hard. Is that the people who impose, who I feel like impose their opinions and their judgments on me that aren't about me, that they're about them, I don't really have them in my life, or I don't have them close in my life, right?
Even if it's your mom?
Even if it's my mom. Because at the end of the day, it's my life and it's not hers, you know? And she's welcome to have her opinion about my life. But if her opinion is going to, if she's going to express her opinion as a lot of negative judgment and a lot of, if she's dumping a lot of shit on me, why would I be around her? You know, she's going to get a much more leeway than someone I don't know, because she's my mom, right? But at some point, she doesn't get infinite leeway, right? Because it's not her life, it's mine. And I care, I want that relationship to work, but if she has an issue with something that is not about her, that's about me, that's her problem, it's not my problem. So I cut those people out of my life, or I limit my contact with them.
And are you direct about cutting them? Because I know some of my friends, they'll be like, you have to go tell that girl, you have to go tell that person they're out of your life. Or some of them will just outright be like, screw it, get them out, cut it, and that's
it. It depends. I'm a big fan of minimum sort of viable impact, you know, like what's the minimum you have to do to actually get the result, right? And so like, you don't have to have like a formal sit down and a bold conversation and write out a certificate, like we're not hanging out anymore or anything like that. It's much more like, how do you spend your time? How do you allocate your time, right? If it's a real important person to you, it probably necessitates a conversation. You know, like if it's your mom, you can go, mom, when you say X, it really hurts me, or it impacts me, or I feel this way. And if, you know, like most mothers or most parents, if they care about you, if you make that explicit, they're going to change their behavior because they care about you. Not all of them will, though. Like, not all parents are good, sadly.
It's just the truth.
It's a hard truth, man.
And you just got to accept it and move on. I like that. So then, building off that then, what I'm really interested is this, because, I mean, you receive all that banter and all that feedback, so it's like, throughout your life, you've had to probably readjust your focus onto something different than what people are naturally saying.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm curious to this, did you know from the beginning that you being an asshole, as you call it, is your gift? Or, like, was that innate? Like, sometimes people call me a salesman, and I'm like, mm-hmm. that's going to come in handy one day.
Right.
And I kind of put it in the back of my mind. I say, okay, I can continue this, but I should probably just tone it down with this person.
Yeah.
Did you always know it was a gift?
Or? Yeah, so me being or calling myself an asshole is more of a brand thing. It's not a gift. I don't know if you can be gifted at being an asshole. I'm pretty gifted at...
it's a gift in your brand, you know what I mean? Like, so
The whole thing with the... It's funny, man, because the whole story with the brand was essentially when I was coming up writing, it was a different world. 02, 03 is totally different world than now.
For real.
And so like what I highlighted and accentuated in my brand was what would accelerate a lot of attention and traction at the moment, right? I mean, I could have easily draped myself in literary pretension and I could have been a Charles Bukowski or whatever. That was bullshit to me. I wanted to sell books. I wanted to actually impact people. I wanted people to read my stuff. I didn't want a small collected coterie of elite to think I was great, right? So if I want that, then I have to take a different approach with the same underlying material, right? And so the approach I took at the time was very much like a gadfly approach. Like I can be an asshole at times. I can do these things. And that was sort of like my thing. But it's funny, I can tell by the way people interact with me whether they've actually read the books. Because if you've read them, you're like, oh, this dude like makes fun of himself as much or more than anyone else. Like he's the butt of jokes. Like it's okay, I get it. Like the asshole is sort of tongue in cheek. It's like more of a, like I said, more of like a gadfly or sort of like a trickster, prankster, joker type thing. Not about being mean to other people, right? But if what you think about me is secondhand, it's like, oh, I heard this person say X or he's that dude I read about, then it's just, I'm just an object to you that you are using to signal against. Well, I have a lot of virtue because I think he's a bad person. It's not an actual interaction, right? So that wasn't my gift. It was, the gift for me was understanding what I had to do at the moment with the material I had to get attention and get traction.
Understood. So that's all right. And how you use it for a branding tool makes a lot of sense as well.
Mm-hmm. It worked at the moment.
Yeah.
It's not exactly necessarily all that helpful now, yeah, right? That's part of the consequences is like,
yeah,
okay, it did something that I wanted at that moment. Now, later on, I'm doing a different thing. It's funny. What happens now is I'll go into meetings and people will, oh, that's that asshole, right? And so the bar is so low. The way it actually helps me is like people, if I come in and I'm not like drunk and yelling curses at people, they're like, oh, he's so nice.
He's not an asshole.
Right? Exactly. He's so nice. Like I could do the same thing. If you could do something and people are like, he's all right. And I can do the same thing. Like, oh, he's so much better than I thought he would be, right?
He's so much better than he made himself out to be. Jesus Christ. He's not an asshole. Maybe he likes me.
He's smart. Yeah. He's well-spoken. He was sober. Like normal shit, right?
Yeah.
So that's the way it benefits. The way it hurts is just like, you know, like, oh, well, I've heard these things, and then it's like dismissive, but whatever, it's the price you pay.
100%. So building off that then, I'm interested, because I mean, focus has a lot to do with people's success, and you have the old adage, what you focus, whatever, right? But here it is. There's a thing that one of the people that I look up to, Tony Robbins. Do you know Tony Robbins? Mm-hmm. He says yeah, everybody has a primary question, a question that they ask themselves more often than anything else. And it dictates your focus because questions have the opportunity and ability to hijack your focus.
Right.
And to give you some examples, right? Like a lot of people who maybe are pessimists will be like, what's wrong or what's missing, right? I'm really curious as to where your focus is at the majority of the time based on where you're at in life. And
right
maybe
now?
If you could identify it. Yeah, right yeah. now. And what your primary question is, if you can identify it.
Yeah, no, I can. I don't know if I have one. I think I have two, although okay. they might be connected.
Linked, yeah.
Yeah. So with my family, there's only two areas in my life that I care about, my family and my work, my business, right? Yeah. With my family, there's really only one question, and it is, are we connected? You know, like, not just do we have a relationship, but are we really deeply connected? So me and my children, me and my wife, us as a unit, are we connected? Are we communicating? Are we relating? Are we experiencing this time together, right? For work, the real question, I mean, there's a lot of like sub-business questions, but I think it all boils down to, are we executing on our mission, right? Which is like, we want to, without like getting all into the whatever, sound like I'm a pitch deck or something, we want to help help people share their knowledge and wisdom with the world, right? Generally through books, like that's where we started, but we're gonna expand through that. So the question is, are we doing this? Are we helping people turn their ideas into books or not, right? And so that's sort of our like focus. So those are the two questions. Am I doing the two things that matter to me? Connecting with the people I love, doing the work that matters.
I love that. Most people that ask that question too, I gotta give it to you. They are really like, you were able to just snap, figure out.
I think about this shit, man.
Yeah, man, it's really, it's interesting.
Yeah,
I
think about it a lot, man.
Very cool.
Because what the fuck else matters? Like, if you don't know the answers to those questions,
Yeah, honestly.
What are you doing?
I mean,
you know?
Where are you at, really? So, I mean, phasing into like the last kind of two questions I want to get off my chest and ask you here before I let you go, prepare for your talk. The fact we're doing this before makes me empathetic because I really want you to have time for yourself.
No, it's fine.
Okay.
No problem.
Well, I appreciate it. Yeah. But I want to change it up a little bit and just think about something where you're here, right? I mean, let's just say you're here, right, in your journey and looking at everything that's gone before you, right? Everything that you've done and everything you've experienced and obviously all the stuff that you have to go to right after this. The future's bright for you. But I mean, what do you wish you knew? Right, like
right now?
Yeah, I mean, looking back, I'm sure there's like a billion friggin' things.
So much.
Yeah, but if you could pinpoint it down to something that's actually genuinely on your mind, something that you wish you knew as a human being, what would you want to tell me?
So let's exclude like the obvious cheap answers, like, oh, I wish I knew where the stock market would be in a year or some nonsense.
Yeah, I wish I knew the freaking lottery max number.
Okay, right, of course. So, right, exactly. What's the lottery number going to be, the Powerball? Yeah. Like, that's a bullshit answer. All right.
You want me to rephrase it?
No. It's a great question. I want to give the right answer. The answer that, like, because this is one that, it's a really good question. What I wish I knew, I know there are unknown unknowns in my life. There are things that I don't know, that I don't know, that are really impactful on me, and I wish I knew what they were. Like I have unknowns in my life. Things like, why am I angry about that? Whatever. Like the things that I know are problems. I'm not saying they're solved, but at least they're on the table for me. I can focus on them, and then I can almost solve anything if I know it's a problem. There's no human on earth where this isn't true, right? There's shit that's really impactful in my life that I'm not even seeing and I don't even understand yet. And I wish I could understand that so I could address it.
I freaking love that answer, man. That's incredible.
Cool.
The unknowns are the unknowns. That's freaking... That's unknown, cool, unknowns.
Yeah.
I've never had anybody say it like that. That's amazing. So last question for you. Left field, right? Throw you off. Hopefully exude some form of creativity.
You can throw me off. That's good because I've been doing this 15 years, dude. So.
You about throwing you off? Okay, I appreciate
I'm saying if you can.
Oh, if you, I can throw
no,
you
these
off.
Have been good questions. Okay. Very good. Okay. But you're not throwing me off yet.
All right, I appreciate it. I don't know if this will throw you off. I'm kind of hyperbolizing it, but it's just different than the other questions. It doesn't follow any order, which is, what's your oh shit moment? And this one comes from Sam. He wanted me to ask this because he was curious. I mean, that moment where you just fucking facepalm, man, where you literally said, holy shit, what the friggin', what am I gonna do, right?
And like, you wanna talk about an oh shit moment, man? She was not a bad person, the worst possible hire. Like imagine like you're looking for chicken salad and you get chicken shit, like that sort of thing.
Holy crap.
And so like, it was a total oh shit.
Does she know this?
Yeah, no, we fired her already. Like, of course.
She's a good person, but not
No, not she's not bad. Just, you know, total wrong fit for the business. And, dude, blind luck, man. One of our clients was a baller CEO and looking for a next thing to do. And like, he was kind of helping me, like, just coaching me sort of for fun on the side because I reminded him of him years ago. And he saw what was going on, and, like, I kept going to him for more and more advice. And he's like, well, why don't you just bring me on board? I'll run your company. I'm like, the fuck, we can't hire, like, we can't afford you.
Yeah.
Like, we made last year what you made, like, our entire top line sales or your salary. He's like, nah, don't worry about that. I'm rich. Like, you guys have an amazing product, a really cool company. I know I can take this to 100 million plus, no problem. I've already done this. It's our CEO now, JT McCormick. He did it with a software company. He's like done a bunch of things. And he's not like a dude you would know. He's like just a baller business guy.
Yeah, for sure.
And he came in and what's crazy, man, is he offered to be president and let me stay as CEO. And I'm like, that's bullshit. Like if you're gonna come in and run it, you'll be the CEO. I'll go down to be head of product and do like branding and you know, like media stuff, the two things I'm good at, and I'll let you run it. It's been a year and a half. We'd done about 2 million when he came on. We're about to hit 10 million. So we 5X because of that dude.
Holy shit.
It's pretty much 100%
it's
because
crazy,
of him.
Man. Because those 2 millimeters of just little shit that they know will just make over a year.
Dude, it was not 2 millimeters. The difference between him and me. I thought it was going to be. I'm like, this guy, he can't be that much better than me. He's just that much. He's just a little ahead, right? I didn't even know what it was. Like, that's a case of where I didn't even know what I didn't know. Like the shit, he does shit, and I'm like, I never would have thought of that, and it's fucking brilliant, and it's why this other thing is working.
That's why I put you as CEO.
You know how many times a week I say that? Probably twice a week.
Just walk that's why you're CEO. Just knock on the door. Hey, dude,
that's why you're CEO. Yeah. I swear to God.
Yeah.
That was a perfect example. That dude just knows so much about what we have to do that I just didn't know, you know? And it's it was an oh shit moment that ended up becoming the rocket fuel for us.
Freaking awesome, man. I love cool. that. I'm like prepared for your talk. That's everything. I gotta also recharge this light. So
yeah, right.
Yeah, we're gonna go from there. Thanks for your time.
Cool, man. Definitely.
I appreciate
good questions, dude. Those were very good. Yeah.